Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Spin It Social Hour. My name is Stefan Kaplan, and it is an absolute pleasure to be here with everyone this morning. Oh, I see that we are having some technical difficulty for a second. Apologies. One second, please. With the focus. Apologies, folks. I will fix that immediately. Okay, there we go. Apologies, folks. Once again, welcome to the Spin It Social Hour. My name is Stefan Kaplan, and I am the founder of the Spin It Social Hour. The Spin It Social Hour is a labor of love born out of care and concern for our photo community. And when this pandemic hit, I decided that I had to reach out and help these photographers around the world get their name out there and get their work out there more, because our field, like many other fields, has been hit really hard by this pandemic and the resulting economic crisis. So for the past 28 weeks, every week, I've been bringing great photographers on the air to introduce you to them and let you get to know their stories and their work. So please, as you watch this broadcast, hit the share button, let all of your friends know about today's guest and all of our past guests, all featured on YouTube now at the Spin It Social Hour on YouTube. So please check that out. So I am a social media and visual strategist and a former New York Times photo editor. I spent 15 years as a supervising photo editor for the New York Times Wire Service, and it was an honor and a pleasure to do so. And along the way, I met hundreds, if not thousands, of photographers around the world. And it is now of great service that I do this show and that I am honored every week to bring on different photographers from around the world. This week's guest is no exception. Stuart Dryden is a great photojournalist from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And we are going to get to Stuart in one moment. I have also worked with the likes of the Pulitzer Prizes. I have worked with the Jackson Charitable Foundation. I work with Sri Srinivasan and his DigiMentors group, producing live streams around the world for many different organizations. And of course, I am my own brand, Spin It Social. So please connect with me at Spin It Social across the board on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, even my email, spinitsocial@gmail.com. But we also have to pay bills, and we have to acknowledge and take care of our sponsors. I have my very first sponsor as of a month ago, and that is Real Talk, live from the barn, from visionary brand strategist Emilio Pardo. Let's take a quick look. A new show is in the works for 2 weeks from now. Real Talk, live from the barn, a show that focuses around all issues relating to COVID-19, from the economy, jobs, racial matters, etc. And we will have a new show developed in 2 weeks, so please stay tuned. Right now, though, I'd like to make one more mention for somebody that I've been working with for the past 2 or 3 weeks. And I'd like to let you know that this auction needs to be paid attention to. I hope that you'll visit their site and even bid and buy some prints from these wonderful children and Asima Charitable Trust in Mumbai, India. It is an amazing, amazing organization. This auction is brought to you by Artrepreneur. Visit them. It's called Beauty Without Boundaries. And Asima is raising money to educate and take care of the welfare of some of the poorest children in India, in Mumbai. So please check this auction out. 2 days left till tomorrow, auctions.artrepreneur.com. Bid on a print. Also, you can buy prints if you can't afford to bid. We all understand that. But please visit them, check them out. Some of the artwork is absolutely, absolutely stunning. So But now we must get to Stewart's work. So we are going to give a build-up for Stewart that he deserves and enjoy it. Stewart Dryden is a freelance photojournalist based in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. In his 30-year and counting career, Stewart has worked with Sony North America, the Calgary Sun, and the Calgary Stampeders. His work has been published in magazines and newspapers throughout the world. Stewart notes, "The variety of subject matter in an average 8-hour shift is what drew me to the business in the first place. Being able to shoot news, sports, features, and video was the best way to improve my craft. The land is rich in color and ever-changing light," Stewart says. "This last year, I have been blessed with the opportunity to investigate and appreciate all that the country has to offer and look forward to every chance I have to hit a back road and discover new treasures. Never have I photographed more birds and wildlife as I have in the last year. The technical aspect of capturing an eagle in flight was the initial draw. However, the more time I spent with such amazing creatures, I was on owls, hawks, and I am expanding to photographing all sorts of wildlife. Just being close to such beauty and seeing them in their natural environment is addicting and so enjoyable." Everybody, please help me welcome my guest today, Stewart Dryden.
Hi, hey, guys.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. That was a long buildup, I know. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, I did, yeah.
And when I say long, I mean with sponsors and other things. So, but, you know, this is a showtime now, so we have to make sure that everybody's mentioned. And but most of all, that you're here is what we're so grateful about. And so, Stewart, tell us a little about yourself. We're so thrilled to have you here.
Well, basically just a Scottish guy, moved to Canada when I was about 10 or something like that, and got into, always did photography, you know, kind of thing. So always artistic. Basically, I was drawing and painting, and then, and it was actually back in Scotland one time in the 80s, and my grandfather left me his camera gear. He passed away, and his best friend was a shooter. Mm-hmm. And so I went out to go draw and paint landscapes on the Isle of Skye in Scotland, and it's raining, it's wintertime, it's raining every day, right? So I can't do anything. He says, "Well, grab your grandfather's camera gear, you got all this gear, go shoot it and we'll soup it and develop and print it at night," right? Perfect, right? So from that moment, I'm not kidding you, from that moment I didn't touch a pen or a paintbrush for at least 10-15 years. I was just right in, both feet in photography. I just love at first sight. So it's a good way to start. So
it is, yeah. It is. So originally from Scotland and moved to Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Born in Edinburgh and Inverness.
Okay. I've always wanted to go to Scotland. It is high on my bucket list.
It is an amazing place for photography. In fact, it's funny because I never shot landscape unless I was home. As soon as I got off the plane, I would shoot my brains out for the entire month or whatever I was there for. And when I came back to Canada, it was just like, you know, a little Lake Louise or maybe the island. Ooh. Or something like that. But it was mostly, you know, news stuff and whatever, you know. But yeah, as soon as I got there, I went crazy. So,
well, I saw, well, your work has like jazzed me up again this week because, you know, we're dealing with a lot here in the United States, and seeing your beautiful photography this week, curating it, pulling it together for the show, brought me back to my photo editing days, number one, as every week does. But more mm-hmm. importantly, it just, it refreshed my spirit. So I thank you for all of your beautiful work.
I'm so glad to hear that because, you know, like 90, like my, the whole thing of me doing the landscapes and stuff is, first of all, it's sanity.
Yes.
Second of all, is to keep sharp, you know.
Yes.
And also to inspire other shooters to do the same thing, you know, like just to find something they love and go do it. That doesn't have to be related to dollars and cents and making money and everything like that. Just do it because you love it. And
right.
I tell you, like the prairie did that for me. It's just I did hundreds of thousands of kilometers through the prairie without even mm-hmm. thinking. Mm-hmm. about shooting. And now I do about 50 kilometers an hour. I used to do about 140.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, now I do about 50 kilometers an hour and just soak
it all in. You guys drive fast in Alberta.
Well, yeah. It's flat and straight in the prairies.
I know that because we were on a Canada fix for 3 years in a row, my family and I, and my wife, myself, and our son. We, for the past 3 to 4 years, traveled throughout Canada and went to, first we went to Vancouver, then we've been to, we went to Jasper, and then we drove all the way to Banff, which was the bucket list drive of a lifetime, folks. And you have to do it one day. And I had to slow down on that trip. Normally it takes 5 hours. It took us 10 hours.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. You have to stop at every turn you make. There's a different mountain or light or this or that. I mean, or wildlife staring you right in the face.
Exactly. It's a postcard every corner. It's nice.
Every corner, man. So, you know, I think at one point I was advised to, that's the last stop. We need to get to the hotel if you get my drift.
Exactly.
But I saw earlier that Gary Hirshhorn, another fellow Canadian of yours, was watching. Hey, Gary. Gary was a guest.
Oh, hey, Gary.
You know, Gary.
Huge fan of Gary's work. Huge fan, you know. Glad and that's the thing. I mean, Gary, like myself and a few other friends on the internet and or on Instagram and with the news, but that passion. We get out of bed every day. We're just passionate about what we do, and it shows in Gary's work every day. You know,
so. Gary is, I call him Mr. New York City Skyline.
By far.
And folks, if you haven't seen Gary's work, go back on the Spinach Social Hour on YouTube. Find it about 2 weeks ago. Amazing photography. But Gary, yes, I'm wearing my red for Canada. But I'm sorry, this is from Alaska. But I wore this to show the eagle on the mountains in honor of Stuart's work. So we went to Alaska, too, on my first cruise, and it was wonderful, too. But I would rather do it by land one day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, getting to you, Stuart, I have to tell you, when I saw your work and I knew about it, but when I revisited it and I said, wow, we're connected on Facebook, I've got to get Stuart on my show because a lot of the photographers that I bring on, a bunch are from my network. Others are from introductions that people make for me. And now, of course, people are approaching me from around the world. And photographers and artists. And I just love connecting with everybody, but I do the show once a week. And I wanted to get you in this week because I feel that we needed that shot of beauty that you provide the world with.
Oh, thank you very much.
So Edward Leskin, a big fan of the show, Spinach Social Hour, says, amazing how many photographers started with drawing and painting first. I believe it no accident that having that experience first has a huge impact on the future of creating beautiful and striking images. That is how I started too, as did Stuart and others. Fascinating. Thank you, Edward. A future guest and a great, great person who comments with the most amazing comments every week.
For sure. It is amazing. It's funny how, you know, how many people, well, we're all artists, you know, kind of thing. What's funny too is I had this ball of artistic energy my whole life, right? So I'd have to put it in different outlets and art, obviously painting and drawing.
Right.
But years ago, I discovered music, guitar. I stopped in front of a guitar store and I go, you know what? I know nothing about guitar. Let's shake the tree. Walked in. Here's $500. Give me what I can get for $500. You know, like just, you know, a good guitar.
Nice.
I mean, a starter guitar.
Yeah.
And they were so good. And within seconds, minutes when I got home, I was playing and I've been playing for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years now. But it's artistic, you know, just that to get out there. And right. There's so many shooters that play as well. You know, that's a neat thing. Play or they draw and paint, you know.
So. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I never got into drawing. Photography was it for me. It just drew me right in. I only wish I had been a photographer when I was growing up in Greenwich Village. What a coffee book I would have had, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that better late than ever. And I got into photography when I took my friend Ronaldo, who was on my show months ago, put a camera in my hands when we used to roller skate. And he was like, buddy, I think you really like photography, judging by what you have told me about mine. Why don't you take this camera and go shoot, you know?
Exactly.
So exactly. I started doing that and I got the bug. And then when I ended up at Brew College, I ended up taking a darkroom course and got hooked being in the darkroom. I so miss being in a darkroom. How about you?
Well, you know, it's funny you're saying that because when I started in the paper, we had two dailies in Calgary, and one was a, you know, broadsheet, one was a tab. And the Sun, the tab, they did all their shooting, developing, printing, everything themselves. The shooter did. Where at the Herald, it was they passed it off to Lab Tech, and someone edited your stuff, and someone printed your stuff. So there was no hands-on, you know?
Right.
That was the key thing, along with the people. The people were night and day. I mean, in the tab, they were really supportive and really helpful and stuff. Sure. But the developing, and in the darkroom, it's another key thing is that I did at least 10, so many, at least 10 years in the darkroom doing film and shooting and doing our own, souping our own stuff. But
right.
The key thing is that you would debrief with your guys, you know, your fellow shooters
right.
for at least 2 hours at the end of each day. You know, so the jokes and the stuff, but you know, was it kept everybody going. You created this bond that the right. Herald guys never had, you know, like right. so you're this team, you know,
right,
which helped us every day, you know, beating them. And but more importantly, like good things and bad things. So if you're at a really, you know, horrible event or whatever, you come back and oh, you know, they'd know that you'd been at this plane crash or whatever.
Of course.
And just the way they bounce stuff off each other. Oh yeah, that happened to me like 5 years ago, you know,
yeah.
just, you know, this. So, you know, subconsciously you were sort of dealing with it, you know, mm-hmm. and help these guys helped you deal with stuff. And I never really took anything home, but you know what I mean? It's just with the laptop days, as soon as we went digital, you're in your truck, you post, that's it.
I know. I do miss the camaraderie, and I do miss being with all my colleagues. Like at the New York Times, I was in the wire service, but I'd be on the newsroom floor constantly in the near the photo desk, and sitting down with, I mean, the likes of Angel Franco, Jose Lopez, Ruby Washington, God bless her, Ruby yeah. left us about 2 years ago. All these legendary photographers I got to work with, Sarah Krolwich, I'll go on. Oh, and I will give it one more shout out right now that just popped in my head to Death Prawn, legendary photographer, of course, legendary human being who passed away quite a while ago. Of course, The Killing Fields, everybody knows about The Killing Fields and mm-hmm. other movies. But being with those people, you know, like you said, you could either sit down and you're discussing matters of the day, whatever the topic, whatever's going on, or half the other time you're sitting there in such great rapport and relationships. And once everything went digital, a lot of that, even these days, I haven't been in a newsroom in a while, but they're in and out, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, you feed off each other too, because you're seeing each other's work and it's like, how the heck did you do that? Oh, that's called slow second curtain sink or whatever. Or
right.
how did you get that light? And one of the funniest things I always say is, when I first started in the dark, you know, with the paper, and I was freelancing and working for a weekly that was part of the paper, but I would walk in there and a buddy of mine's would say, oh, see the light on that shot? Or, well, look at the light outside. Isn't that wicked? And I'd be, oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely no idea what he's talking about, you know,
right.
seeing light. Light is huge. Light is so much of a shot, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, like you learn stuff every hour you're in there from each other, and they learn stuff from you, like, because you know we have our own strengths and weaknesses, you know what I mean? So
right.
it was a very key part, and luckily we had that bond. So when we went digital, we still had that friendship, we still had that, you know, we'd meet up after hours and stuff, but very right. crucial time.
Well, I'm watching the screen right now because I know the minute I put this image up that everybody's jaw just dropped. And also I have to say that, folks, we are streaming live the Spin It Social Hour on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, of course, where we are right here, and Twitter. So platform of choice, no problem. You can go to any platform and watch the Spin It Social Hour now. Please check it out. And today we are going to go through some more of Stuart's work. And I have to tell you, Stuart, the minute I saw this shot, I said it's going to be my main promo card for the week, and it was the first one I put out there this week because, wow, tell us about capturing an image like this and in the beautiful land of Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Well, this is a funny story, actually, because I was chasing this storm. I went out to a point east of Calgary. The storms come through pretty predictable paths around town or in the prairie.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I was chasing this storm, and it wasn't coming. So I bolted up the highest point in the area, which is really stupid in a lightning storm.
Right.
Not, And then it gets worse. So I'm chasing this thing. So I get to this is called a road allowance. So instead of being a road, it's just basically a cart path through field, right?
Okay.
Which you can drive on.
Right.
So yeah, I see the
tracks.
Yeah. So I blow up there. I've shot lightning, fireworks and stuff, night scenes for over 30 years, right? I have never shot lightning handheld before, but I had the Sony A9, 20 frames a second, really good in low light. I had a 12 to 24 on. I jump out, I aim at the sky, and you know, you get your timing for lightning, and I sat on it at 20 frames a second. But this is shot at 20, so that lightning strike is like 100 and some yards away from me, right? So it was funny. The numbers, your shutter speed, all the numbers info in your viewfinder was going crazy because the electricity was so freaking, you know, high. And my hair standing on end. I get out there, blast off this frame. This lightning strike hits. The boom just about blew my hair back. And then it just starts thumping down with hail and rain. So I jump in the truck, but that shot handheld 12 to 24, so 12 mil. And it was crazy. So I'm lucky to be here to tell you about it. It might have just been in my camera.
We're glad you're here too. And we're glad your hair survived too.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's still up on air, you know.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I've experienced driving throughout many big roads in Canada. And with the travels we've made, Clark White, wow, thank you for being here from LinkedIn. Thank you so much, sir. Pleasure to meet you and pleasure to have you here. We have, you know, I premiered on LinkedIn last week, and it is such an honor to be streaming live on LinkedIn. I can't tell you. It is truly one of my favorite platforms, and it is the platform of choice for professionals around the world. So I want all these professionals to know my photographers and know who I bring on here, because I want to help you guys get work and get I want people to learn about you, because like we said at the beginning, this show is created because the pandemic has hit everybody so hard, you know? My point with this photo was going to be, I was driving in some storms going to Canada and other places. Man, let me tell you something. Having storms in the city and New Jersey and places is one thing. There's nothing like being out in the open road in Canada and other places and one of these big storms hits. It is an experience that you only hope you get through.
Yeah, indeed. Thank God for radar. I use my radar in my apps. Or I was in 3 or 4 tornadoes this year, which is rare for our area. I mean, like
3 or 4, that's a lot, man.
Yeah. Well, I was luckily I wasn't in them because of the radar. I might have been in them with, you know, so.
So here comes the city. Here comes this other clouds and storms. One thing I've learned about being out in Canada, man, that it can change so fast.
Yeah.
Tell us about this. This is something out of Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah. Well, first of all, anything that's on my IG feed or anything that's on my, I don't use, you know, I don't sandwich images or any kind of weird stuff. It's all in camera, you know, right. I just work a basic edit. So what this is the back end of a major storm, and the cloud, the circular pattern, you know, the little bubbly clouds underneath the bottom in the gray area. That's called a mattis.
Right.
So that only really comes out at the end of big storms. I find anyway, it follows big storms. So now we've got the mattis, which by itself is always great. But now we have sunset. So, you know, you've got the peak for the Rockies. Wow. That's the Rocky Mountains are basically causing the shade.
Wow.
And then, you know, above that, you get your sunset. So it was one of these moments where I just, you know, F8 and be there. But you know, I ran out of the house. This is across town from where I live. I live on the other side of downtown. Blew over here because I needed to, you know, something in the foreground. And I had literally minutes. I called one of my best friends, Mike Drews, and also a great shooter. Follow him, Mike Drew. I called him, get out here. You know, the light's crazy, right? And he left the house and he was like 5 minutes, he was gone.
You know, that is the amazing thing about this type of photography. And you and I know both, and all of our colleagues too. It's about being at the right moment at the right time many times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But then there's a matter of seconds, if not minutes, if not seconds, to grab something like this. And man, you nailed it. I mean, this is just beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
But you know, we have so much to go through here. So then you're out in the field though somewhere, and you come across something like this. Now this is beyond magical. This is like all of the elements combined in a storm, but that comes out of a fantasy. I mean, when do you ever see something like this with two people standing there, as silhouetted by this? I don't know. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, this was a tornado that touched down south of Calgary briefly. And so I was chasing it basically. And I was coming in from the north, and it was moving too fast for me, you know, like to catch up to it. So basically I shoot a lot of stuff. If you see his long lens, like 600, 500, right. 400. Right. And so I seen it in the distance. I couldn't get at it. And this is a weird, irrigation canal that goes through the prairie, so it's elevated, right? And these guys are gawking at it, and I just it's funny because I hit a dead end. I'm just basically concentrating on the storm. I wasn't looking at the map where I was going to get cut off with stuff like canals. And so this is in the foreground, and I just, you know, again shooting 600. Mm-hmm. I think it was 600 on this one, and just crush it. So I like to crush, you know, compress stuff. Yeah. And so, yeah, the effect was, and again, that's not Photoshop. That's not.
Oh, no, no. Whatever. One thing everybody should know, and Stuart, I love the fact that you do this on your website, which I'll show in a bit. I'm reading from it right now. It literally says, and folks, this is a real professional here. And this is what I always tell people you should do, because we have so many things going on in social media and visuals today that everybody's caught up in Instagram and filters and this and that. Stuart says, and I quote, "All photos on my Instagram feed are available for sale or print or high-res files. These are only the most recent pics. All images are original single images that shot in the camera with standard editing. No HDR, high dynamic range imaging, is used on any of my images." So Stuart lets everybody know that all of this is true to form. So what you're seeing is what he took. It is not manipulated. Okay. Mm-hmm. Amazing work. Amazing.
Thank you very much.
Let's go on here because we have to get into all this. So, you know, we get to, wow, man. I mean, I was in Canada once in Vancouver, and I got a shot like this, but not with that type of wingspan and everything else. This is something that everybody should have up on their wall if you love eagles or nature.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Shad, I'm lucky enough. My folks used to live in an island on Vancouver Island, mid-island, called Quadra. And so I used to have access to these amazing creatures, like, you know. And
what is the average wingspan of an eagle like this? Do you know, Stuart?
Oh, God.
Can I just put you on the spot?
I'd say 6 feet or something like that.
Wow, you know, 6 feet.
That's 5 feet, amazing. 6 feet. Yeah, they're impressive, you know.
Incredible. Incredible creatures. They're just so majestic and beautiful to watch, you know.
They are. They're incredible. Like, and this actual bird, this shot here, they sit up in the trees, and it's called the Inside Passage. So when you were taking your cruise to Alaska, you would have passed right in front of my folks' house and this town, Campbell River. Mm-hmm. And so they fish there, but it's a good couple of miles across, right? And they'll sit there in the trees and sit there and sit there, and all of a sudden take off out of the tree, go to the middle of the passage, and come back with a salmon. You know, in some cases they pick up salmon that are too heavy for them, they drown, or they'll actually have to swim back because they can't. But once they're hooked in, they can't unhook, right?
Right.
So I've seen all that stuff and photographed.
Now that I never knew. Once they're hooked in, they can't unhook.
Very rarely, especially if it's a big one. You know, like they're locked
in. I guess their claws are so sharp and deep that they're so dug into the prey that they captured. I never knew that. Once they're locked in, they don't, until they get in a tree or somewhere, they don't release.
Yeah, I actually have pictures of one that actually swam from a quarter of the way out back with its wings. And again, it couldn't get up, but it was just exhausted.
Wow.
And, yeah. And another one was coming. Actually, I think that was in my feed as well. It was so heavy, this fish is actually skipping along the water. So he's got it locked in, but the tail is skipping along the water. So I've got the skip marks in the water behind. Wow. And he get to the shore. You could have walked up and petted him. He was just exhausted.
That is so cool. By the way, shout outs to everybody watching. We have 25 live viewers, and we also have over 70 comments already. Do we have any comments or questions for the screen that we can put up? That just in case we want to make sure that we're giving shout outs. By the way, a shout out to my dear friend, Chitachi, Dr. Tachi, we call her, of Mediascope. Christine DiSavino, a great photographer, says beautiful photography. Christine specializes in family portraits and infant photography. Look her up in New Jersey and New York. Christine DiSavino, an old friend, a dear friend. I have to tell you, it's wonderful always having all the viewers. Please thank you for watching the Spin It Social Hour. Make sure you hit share and let's move on. So Stuart, we're talking about eagles here, but I am a huge fan and I just love and adore this shot of this. Is it a white owl or a gray owl?
A snowy owl. An Arctic owl, a snowy owl that comes through Calgary. In fact, they should be here in the next couple of weeks.
Oh man, I could look at this all day long. I could put it up on my wall and sit down and just stare at it and be relaxed in a matter of minutes. They are amazing.
Well, that's, the key thing is, and when I first started, when I left the paper or whatever, and I started shooting just to get out of the city, hashtag off the couch. Every picture I have on Instagram is hashtag off the couch because
I didn't catch that. Okay.
Oh, seriously. Totally. Just get my butt off the couch, get out in the prairie and do something. And when I first started shooting these guys, I would just sit there for a good hour. I'd be on a power pole or something like that and just soak it in. And then I got to the point where I'm actually talking to them, as I'm shooting them. And they're just absolutely stunning,
So let me guess, and this is going to be a really bad joke, but, and you don't give a hoot about shooting owls, right?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Exactly. They are incredible, though.
I had to do that.
Exactly.
But this is also a really, really great moment because here you have, let me see if I'm correct, a wolf?
Coyote.
Coyote. Okay.
Yeah.
In the prairie somewhere, and just beautiful contrast between the prairie, the snow, the frozen land, and the perfect silhouette of this coyote standing or, right there, obviously probably looking at some prey, luckily not looking at you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get these magical moments when you're out there. And again, it's first of all, it's effort and be there, but you have to be there. And when you're out there, and you're driving 50 kilometers an hour or 30 miles an hour, the stuff just opens up. When you're driving at 100 miles an hour, you see nothing.
Wow.
And so,
but these photos, of the owls, of the eagles, of the wolf in the prairie there, of this, what is this bird?
Ah, that's a good question. This is on the island, actually. It was just, there was so many different birds, going along the water fishing and stuff.
Right.
So just happened to pick it up. I have no idea. That's the other thing. I'm not a birder. I'm a guy that shoots birds. I've learned the names of,
All right, birders. Them, but... Birders out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Let's hear it. What is this?
Yeah. Actually, a good point is, the reason I started shooting wildlife and stuff like that, the birds especially, is because one of my key strengths was sports, action. And the birds are the best, thing to practice up your skills on. The autofocus systems now are incredible, the Sony's tracking and everything. This was actually shot manually. It's funny we're talking about this.
Sorry to cut you off, but I got to bring this up because it's important. This is one of the reasons I selected this photo from Facebook and cropped the whole thing and put it in the slideshow because I didn't do this intentionally to show all this other stuff, folks. All my photos are clean in the slideshows, but I wanted to show you the hashtag there, Sony. And manual focus, manual focus, that really takes to this day some real great skill to be able to capture a bird in flight like this.
Well, you know, like I grew up on manual focus, and right. I prided myself. It's an art that, you know, like Gary and the guys that, you know, shot back then. Right. It's something that you really had to work on, and yeah. I worked hard on it. So I was so proficient at it, like for sports and action, that I actually shot manual for a good 2 years after autofocus came out.
Right.
It's just my manual focus was more predictable than the autofocus at the time. Oh, so yeah. What's happening here is I used an Nikon. I have a Sony A9, and my longest glass when I left Sony was my 300-28 Nikon. Mm-hmm. So I basically, and it would only work manual focus. You mm-hmm. couldn't get the adapters were no good right. to, you know, for autofocus. Right. So again, I'm completely comfortable shooting manually, you know, and I did that for a good 6 months this year with the long.
Oh
glass.
Yeah. No, listen, I always tell people, you know, I'm always very happy that I came from the old school of mm-hmm. manual and dark rooms and everything else, because Rose Horowitz, a dear colleague of mine and a great, great person to follow on Twitter, women to follow. Rose says practicing skills on action photography with birds in flight. Okay, Rose, let's keep it up, and we want to see them one day. Clark says from LinkedIn, what is the best lens, Stuart, to use for outdoor nature storm photos for a Sony A6400? Wow, look at that. A specific question.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the long lens stuff, you know, the 7200 is a standard, it's a staple. The other wide angle, you can go like a 24 to 70, that kind of thing. And for the yeah. wide angle stuff, if you want to get, you know, like the drama, but for a lot of these shots, they're, you know, well, with your 6400, it's a crop sensor. So it's going to actually give you more than 200. It's going to give you about 300 mil. Right. So that would be a no brainer. The first, a 7200 should be in everyone's kit.
So listening to your technical ability, which all, you know, professional photographers have, of course, so I found this photo of your friend Frank.
Yeah.
His last name is Shuffletosky.
Yeah.
Shuffletosky. I love that name.
Yeah.
So I came across it. I read your caption on it, and it said it was such an endearing caption about somebody who's meant so much to Canadian photographers and to photographers everywhere, and also you and you personally.
Definitely.
You know, I had to tell you, I'm sure you picked up mad skills, as the youngins say,
yeah.
And also just, you know, think so much about him and everything. What does Frank mean to you?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought Frank's picture up, because I was going to talk about him anyway. Frank worked at SAIT, which is a journalism or technical college in Calgary, and okay. they had the journalism program, which I'm a grad.
Okay.
Frank is got like 99% of should take 99% credit of me being in the photography business.
Wow.
Because he was a second year instructor. We're very good friends still, you know. Like we're actually out there shooting the other day.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I took him with me. We went golfing and then we went shooting. So
this is from the other day.
Yeah, this is just last a week and a half ago.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So Frank, actually the story with Frank is I went to SAIT just to do photography. I had no real intention of doing newspapers mm-hmm. at all. Like mm-hmm. it was just basically just photography. And I went first class of the first day. They're teaching me how long a camera strap should be. So like I'd sold cameras for 4 or 5 years before. So I was like, oh my God, you know, like I quit my job. I'm locked in for 2 years here. I just turned down a job with Delta Airlines that morning and I'm learning how long a camera strap should be. So I said, oh my God, you know, I got to get the hell out of here. So I went to Frank's lab. He was a second year instructor. I go, Frank, you know, like I've screwed up here. He's like, they're teaching me how long a camera strap should be. Can you give me the second year assignments, not for marks or credits or anything? I just need something to do, you know? And he goes, well, I can't do that for you, sis, but there's a couple of grads that are running the weekly paper that's
right.
inside the daily paper.
Right.
And he says, go up there, tell them the situation, and maybe they'll give you an assignment. I literally went right from that lab in my car, straight to the paper, walked to the newsroom, go, hi, I'm Stu. This is the situation. They go, well, you know what? We have a football game at 3:00. You can cover high school football. Went straight to the game, shot it, had a good game. And from then on, I'm a newspaper guy. And Frank is 100% responsible for that, you know?
What a story.
And one final thing with Frankie is that So I'm, you know, I got in with the Sun right while I was in school, shot the Olympics for the Sun.
Yeah.
Had all these great things going on, you know, the Stampeders and stuff while I was in school. And so anyway, you know, I go home to Scotland for a while shooting, and I come back and I said to Frank, you know, can I use your dry mount press in the second year lab, right? To print, you know, for these prints I've done in Scotland. He's like, yeah, no problem. So I go in there, he goes, I didn't know you could shoot landscapes. What the hell? When have you been shooting landscapes? I go, well, the only time I shoot landscapes is when I'm home in Scotland. Go, oh my God. So that, you know, was in the back of my head all the time, just the way he freaked out, you know, and, you know, and I mean, I always loved shooting landscapes. I started shooting landscapes in Scotland, right? You know, when I first started shooting, but he had never seen it, you know, so.
You know, listening to this and everything, you can't just tell the story, you know, you got, hold on one second. Let's see. Okay. So hold on one second here.
Yeah.
I was trying to do something here. Yep. Okay. Well, we're going to try to, try to do something here. Give me one second, please. We're having I'm having a little technical difficulty. Give me one second here.
Yeah.
This happens sometimes, folks, in the nature of live streaming, the beauty of live streaming. We're always trying things, and then next thing you know, it doesn't happen.
Well, while you got Frank's picture up, though, and going back to, like, please, he inspired so many shooters across the country, and most dailies or whatever, daily newspapers and different situations, there's going to be usually one or two shooters that came through, say, through Frank, you know. And if they didn't come through Frank, they know Frank. They know of Frank, you know.
Right.
And he was worked at the Herald in Calgary and various papers in BC. And he's like, you know, he's just one of those guys that, you know, really gets behind you and encourages you and listens to you. And, you know, he's a big fan, but he's a great shooter. And another thing about Frank, like Frank and a whole bunch of other fellow shooters that, you know, newspaper guys, you know, they retire, they, you know, get laid off, they whatever. And I mean, some of them, the photography goes off the cliff. Like they just stop shooting. I get them on Instagram and it's a perfect outlet, you know, like to showcase your stuff. But more importantly, just do something that you love, you know, like to get out and shoot something like Gary in New York, like me in the prairie, you know, like Mike Drew, another buddy of mine that, you know, knows the prairie inside and out. It's just go out there and shoot it and then post it on Instagram. And Frank has started posting on Instagram, and One Eye Looking is his tag on Instagram.
Yeah, One Eye Looking. I love that tag. Sorry, I had to check with a technical technical person, because for some reason I can hear you can hear me, but I wasn't able to hear you for a second, so I just had to check on something.
Okay.
So,
but it's just that's a key thing about you know, is that how Instagram, don't do it for the money, don't do it for anything else. Like, you're out there for you, shoot what you want to do. You know, Frank likes to do a lot of macro, he likes to do, you know, you can mix it up, you can be on one theme, but it's so important. And I mean, when I first heard of Instagram, why would you give your pictures away? Or I thought it was something you did with your phone. In fact, I had 8 posts when I left the Sun. I had 8 posts on Instagram, and most of them were done with my phone, you know. So really, it's a key thing, especially guys that are used to filing, like, you know, Gary was talking in his show last a couple of weeks ago, how we're just so wired to, so used to shooting and posting on Instagram. You do that every day, really, you know, so like you would in the newspaper's file. And that's a key part of it. So, and it helps your photography immensely, shoot every day. So, yeah, Frank. So everyone, Frank's inspired so many shooters. He's a crazy guy.
Well, I love the story. I love everything about Frank and everything. I apologize for the technical problem. I've got it solved now. Thank you for continuing to tell the story while I solve this problem. So let's move on here. Frank, we hope to meet you one day. I do, certainly. He looks like a great guy. He looks like a great guy.
Very much so.
I'm going to shuffle back here. So tell us, Stuart, you know, about getting a shot like this, because I understand you're on a hill somewhere overlooking this. You must be. Either that or you were in a helicopter.
Well, yeah, a lot of the shots, they looked like they're shot from the air, but this is actually very steep hill. So I'm actually at the bottom. I'm sort of eye level to it on it's a coulee, we call them. So basically, you know, a valley. And I'm on one side shooting across the valley. So again, compressed, shot at 600. And if you notice, a lot of my work is lines and light.
That's hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yep. We have breaking news. Uh-oh. Look who's here.
Hey, oh my goodness gracious. Hey.
Do you really think I was having technical problems?
Yeah, there you go.
I was trying to get your buddy on here so we could hear from him straight. Surprise.
Exactly. Well, first of all, he beat me at golf that day in that shot. So.
Yeah, well, it's nice that, you know, he let me win once in a while.
Yeah.
Frank, I was determined to make sure we got you on the show. I wasn't giving up. Everybody was probably like on LinkedIn and everywhere. This guy, what is he doing? He's in the middle of his broadcast. He's on his phone. He's muting himself. Folks, when you want a surprise to happen, you make it happen.
Exactly. One little thing I didn't do. One little thing.
What was it?
I forgot. Well, when I started up, I forgot to click on one spot and
isn't it always that one spot?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to let you guys tell everybody about what you guys, Stu already told the story, but I found the story and the relationship so endearing. I had to bring you on together to let you, shoot the breeze for a couple of minutes and tell people, you know, about how you guys have worked together and everything else.
Yeah. I still got I left a pint of Guinness on the step this morning, hoping Stu would come by to clean the sidewalk. But
you betcha.
That hasn't happened.
That was my job when he was jet setting around the world on one of his many trips shooting.
Yeah. Hey? That was the year it snowed so darn much around in Calgary. He was turned into Superman after that.
Yeah, so, my pipes. You know,
I saw the photo you posted of Frank, Stu, and I said to myself, you know what? I had to. After I tracked him down, I friended him on Facebook. Thank God he friended me back. He said, okay, this guy looks okay. And I asked him to have a virtual beer. and I said, you know what? I would love for you to come on and tell us a little about yourself. And what Stuart, you know, means to you as a photographer. And thank you so much for taking the time to be here and for making everybody on all the platforms realize that I know what I'm doing.
Definitely. Yeah. You caught me off guard. Great surprise.
Great surprise.
So Frank, tell me, what kind of a student was Stuart?
Oh, God.
Oh, just a real pain in the buttocks, you know. I could understand his pain as in his first year or about measuring the camera strap and stuff. But that was a funny story. Man, a true one though.
Well, you know, the funny thing, my first camera that I had back in the days that my friend Ronaldo put in my hands was a Nikon EM. And the funniest thing about that was the first thing I put on that camera, because I couldn't find a regular strap and my grandmother wouldn't buy me a strap again, was I put a guitar strap on it.
That worked nice and wide. Yeah. Doesn't cut in your neck. Yeah, that works really good.
So, Frank, where are you living exactly?
Well, I'm in Calgary. I'm up the road from Stuart, several blocks.
Okay. Born and bred?
No. I'm actually from L.A.
You're from L.A.?
Yeah. Lethbridge, Alberta.
Oh, okay. Oh, you got me good on that one. Wait a minute. You're from Los Angeles?
Yeah, I was forcibly moved to Alberta, but it's worked out quite well.
You betcha. So
tell me, Frank, as a former photojournalist, as a former teacher, as always a teacher and a journalist, pardon me, not a former, what is the most important thing that you can convey to people out there that, you know, to about photography that will help them do better taking pictures?
Well, first of all, always have your camera with you.
Rule number one.
Otherwise, you can only talk about the ones that got away. And my old sports editor used, when I was a writer in the sports department, I came back one time after a big Donnybrook at second base, and I'm all excited about it. He says, look, Frank, he says, don't tell me about it. Write about it. So I used to tell the students, don't talk about it. Show me.
Yeah. Right.
And that's one thing, you know, show the picture, get the picture, then you can show it and do whatever you want with it.
Well,
that'd be number one.
Yeah.
And I guess nowadays you don't have to worry about make sure you have a film in your camera because I think now you're always loaded and ready to go.
Right.
I got sent on a quick turnaround assignment to shoot or photograph Lee Aaron, who just happened to be in town with her band. And I'd been shooting an very exciting assignment earlier in the day, shooting gnomes, you know, for a feature page.
Right.
These garden gnomes, they're really exciting stuff. So I dumped my film off, and the editor at the time, Rick, says, can you run down and get a picture of Lee? I said, oh, yeah, could do that. And, of course, in the old days with film, I'd just taken the film out, got down there, and I'm got 30 minutes into it, and, oh, crap. That rewind knob's awfully loose. And without a beat, without anything, she says, you don't have filament, do you?
Oh, man. You know,
no, I don't.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've done that with, I never did it with film, but I did it with discs.
I'll never forget
the time I went out and there was something how I used to document the NYPD. I documented the NYPD for 10 years. And I was out. I ran out one day to do something about a block from my house because I lived right near the Hudson River. And I ran out, and it was first time I had started shooting digital, and I didn't have a disc in the camera.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of those things. You're rushing, and everything. As soon as I dumped the film, I'd always put a roll in. And this time I was in such a fast turnaround that,
Then, Frank, what happened is they solved the problem because they finally started making digital cameras with two slots.
Yeah. Then they've taken that away now, I think, in most of them.
A lot. Right. Now there's, you know, so many different things, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so looking at Stewart's photos here, you know, the one thing that strikes me most about his photos is that the use of color, of course, is number one, which you can't do away from. But the beautiful way that he captures the landscapes at many different angles.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really important because, you know, when you're out in open territory, so to speak, boy, I'm talking like a real Canadian now, right?
Well, here in bald ass prairie, yeah.
When you're out in open territory, I'll stick to that. It's that, you know, there's all these different hills and you know, downturns and this and that, but you still have to know how to take things at the right, you know, focal length and the right angle and everything else. And Stewart just nails it. I mean, every single time. I mean,
yeah. Well, I think he does a good job of exploring the picture with, you know, everything from a wide angle to his newly acquired 600. Just as, you know, he has a picture in mind, but he doesn't go with just that one. He tries two or three different ideas.
Right.
And,
very important point.
You know, that's what sort of separates the pictures from, you know, the wheat from the chaff out here.
Well, you know, Frank, I want to tell you, you know, the one thing, first of all, you know, having you here to talk a little with us is so appreciated. But the one thing that Stewart, I'm sure Stewart will say, I'll just tell you my quick thing is I always remember those that taught me so much. And I always remember, though, to this day. In fact, last week I had a show. And my professor from Baruch College, who was my mentor in journalism and made me follow the path of journalism and photojournalism, Rosalind Bernstein, was on last week to talk about artists on both sides of the U.S.-Mexican border with Stefan Falke. But I'm looking at this photo here that Stewart took, and it made me think, and it made me weep just a bit about his relationship with you, because it's always so special to have somebody like you, our seniors, our mentors, and no disrespect calling you a senior, of course.
I like the discount.
But a senior photographer is really what I meant.
Mm.
You know, all of the wisdom that that people who have experienced so much, such as yourself and this war veteran here that Stuart will tell us about in a minute in this photo. But thank you for all you do for photographers and students out there, Frank.
It's always fun.
Indeed.
I've never had a dull moment at all in the 34 years at SAIT and all the shenanigans that we used to do in the old Tri-X days in the newsroom.
Right.
You just can't beat it.
Well, we're going to make sure everybody finds out about you, Frank. Can we put Frank's Instagram handle, please, on the screen so everybody can know it? It'll be on the ticker below. Make sure that you follow Frank. His Instagram handle is?
One Eye Looking.
One Eye Looking. So we'll have it up.
Looking.
What's that?
You got to watch out for Stu, though. Don't listen to him because he'll say everything's a tad fuzzy.
Well, I was about to say he should have a T-shirt that says that, because all those shooters across the country that he, you know, got into wire services and newspapers and stuff like that, he'd haunt all of us because he would sit there, you'd hand in your picture, and it's sharp as a tack, and he'd look at it, and he says, it's a tad fuzzy. So, and this is manual focus days. So my focus was always tack because of him. It doesn't matter what you gave him, it was a tad fuzzy. So.
Wow. Well, let's do one quick thing, too, for everybody. And let's actually make sure. Okay, there it is. So, Frank, your Instagram handle is right there for everybody. It's coming up. There it is. One eye looking, folks. Make sure you check Frank out on Instagram. So, Stuart, tell us about this photo, since Frank's here, about this war veteran that really caught my eye because of the hands and the photos and everything. Tell us about this, please.
Well, it's funny you picked this shot, because this gentleman actually took this photo in Korea. And he's so this is a scene in Korea that he actually photographed himself.
Wow.
Back in the day. And so he was a vet and stuff like that. And it was part of a photo essay, which is another thing that's gone by the wayside, you know, which basically, you know, this video, but right. It was part of a photo essay, and this was actually the tight shot in the photo essay.
Wow.
And the age of the hands and such a cool story to have it tied in. And we're talking about photography, you know.
Yeah, no. Well, that's, you know, that I have so many of my grandfather's old war photos from the Korean War and other things in a box that I have to put in an album one day. They're all well preserved, but they're in a box. And many will say, you're kidding me. They're not in an album yet. I know. So many hours in a day, I've got to do it. But it's the contrast between now that we know we're looking at a photo that this war veteran took and his hand, it only makes the photo even that much more powerful.
Thank you. And I like the color versus the black and white in the same, you know, just the tone. So
I always said, the hands, the face from many people, portraits reveal their eyes to the soul, you know, and his hands are that much as much hands to the soul, if you would call it, as eyes to the soul, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But there you are, Frank, running through the hills here.
Yeah, he made me walk up that hill too. You know, I could have had the big one out there right on the hill. You know?
Well, his face was changing color. I almost had to jump in the truck and back down the hill to pick him up, but he made it. He made it.
But I have to tell you, you know, I also love your, this is sort of like, you know, beautiful abstract work, you know?
Oh, thank you.
It's wonderful because you have that beautiful,
reflection.
Reflection and fire escape. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fire escape and the window. It's just perfectly sandwiched in between, and it just brings out everything and that beautiful color, you know, from that tower in Calgary, you know?
Thanks. Yeah. The old and the new, you know, it's kind of the contrast, and then you got the colors and, you know, it's a
right. But here we go. Okay. So, Frank, Stuart would show this photo to you and you would say it's just a tad fuzzy, right?
I'm sure that the boots here, I think, are a little fuzzy. I'm not
sure. Hey, you know what? All these years, it was just he needed eye surgery. There's nothing wrong with our shots. It was just he needed eye surgery.
This photo is so sharp. It's amazing. It is. Do you know who this is? I forgot to note it down.
Oh, geez, I don't. I think she's a Swiss skier.
Wow.
I have the name somewhere,
I'll
but yeah,
tell you,
she's.
these shots of skiers are amazing. I love them.
Oh, thanks.
Love
Yeah,
them.
that's that Sony A9 at the World Cup at Lake Louise, and I
But
mean, insane camera.
as much as I love shots like this, Stuart, and Frank, I love this even more because this moment with the snowdrift court sort of like flying up at her after she stopped and did her skid and everything else, and skiers are probably yelling at me right now, skid, whatever you call it. I'm not a skier, sorry. What an amazing, beautiful moment when the snow is sort of enveloping the whole area, you know?
Thank you. And I mean that, and that's the thing. A lot of like rookies or whatever might not understand is that you might be in an event like the World Cup downhill. They're coming at you 100 and whatever.
Right.
There's shots everywhere. There's shots
Everywhere.
at the finish line. There's shots in the crowd. There's
Everywhere.
shots, a
Everywhere.
wide shot. They just have to see them.
Absolutely. And then, of course, he worked with the Calgary Stampeders. Had to give a shout out to the Stampeders and photo here, a great photo of hopefully a touchdown. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's
But
sorry,
I
keep going.
wanted to also reflect. I
Oh.
found this photo. I do a lot of digging on
Oh,
people
yes.
when I'm digging on things, and I was just
Yeah.
captivated and also just touched by the amount of people that showed up for this memorial and I presume funeral. For this photographer, and I hope you don't mind, but I wanted to show it and show the beauty of all these photographers getting together to honor a colleague.
Yeah, a great guy. Perry Mao was his name from the Edmonton Sun, Daily Shooter. Fantastic guy, fantastic shooter, and we have a very good tight community across the country. I mean, it used to be tighter in the days, but we all got together. Frank was there with us on this one, and it just
I wanted
it
to
was
acknowledge
amazing. You
it
couldn't
because
see your hand in front of your face. Fog day, wasn't it, when you were trying to drive up?
oh yeah, we took a couple of bites out of the seat driving on that highway. It was pretty bad.
Oh man, but
So.
I gotta say, it's the photography community is so tight, and it's wonderful to see all of these colleagues together to honor another photographer. So I wanted to give him a shout out in passing. But you started really, dude, you started really young.
I did. I got, I think I was about 7 or something like that. I got the 110 and then progressed. See, that's a flip flash. I progressed to the built-in flash, but I mean, I basically all our photo albums, family photo albums, were shot by me. So my dad.
I started on a Polaroid myself.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. The funny
My
thing, my dad
Polaroid.
loved photography though, and he would have these cameras, but he didn't know how to use them. And
Well,
so, you'd go to Lake Louise or go to Scotland and try pictures of the family. Well, they're out of focus. They're 4 stops over. I take the little shot with a 110. That made the photo album rather than the paper,
I see you have a feline assistant here,
Oh, Judy, yeah.
and my co-producer is going to probably belt me after the show, but I'm going. It made me think of bringing my co-producer on, since you have an assistant at home. I figured I'd bring my co-producer on. He's going to be like,
Oh,
"What the?"
I'm
Anyway,
surprised she's not banging at the doors here.
Jonathan, I've never had an introduction like that before.
It is unique, I must say. I don't know what the cat will think about it. Cats do tend to be fussy about these things.
They are.
Well, I wanted to bring Jonathan on, and Jonathan always has a question for our guests. And also, I want him to tell everybody to introduce himself for a moment and tell people a little about himself, because Jonathan is the person that drives the car behind the scenes, puts up all the comments, puts up all the banners and tickers, and helps me every week in co-producing this show. So, Jonathan, a little about yourself.
I am a full-time flaneur, a sometime writer, and a part-time tech. And instead of a true question, I think I'll sort of do something slightly different, which is one of the most scenic routes in Canada is the old Canadian Pacific routes across country. Have either of you
Yes.
ever photographed anything following that route?
Yes. Well, I mean, the CP run is basically runs from through Medicine Hat towards Calgary. So a lot of the area, which is east of Calgary. And a lot of that area is where I shoot. And Frank, you know, he likes to shoot that way as well. And then, of course, through the mountain pass, through Banff, all that way. So, yeah, because funnily enough, like a lot of the towns and stuff like that, small towns were built along the railway. So anything, you know, it's basically, it's all built around the railway. So it's kind of a main thoroughfare, main passageway through.
Okay. How about you? Have you shot that area?
As a child, I remember going through there on the old train, steam engine, Kohler and whatever.
Right.
And I was always, well, now for, I don't know, several years, we'll say, been always meaning to go back, but can never afford it.
Yeah. Well, traveling, you know, but part of being a photographer, zooming around a big place like Canada or anywhere is the expenses of traveling. So I can understand that one.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Jonathan.
One of my things, because my background is architectural history and journalism, is I'm fascinated by the old Canadian Pacific hotels. And they fascinate me. And if I were to do a little photographic essay, it would be all the hotels across Canada.
You could do a book on the Banff Springs alone. There's so much history on that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
back in the day when the pyramids, like the rich, you know, the elite or whatever, they go from the pyramids to the, you know, the falls in Africa. Right. Banff was one of those places, and the Banff Springs was one of those places that they would stay. Yeah. It's a really amazing place.
Yeah, no, I tell you, Banff and Jasper, wow, man, I tell you, they both captured my heart, man. But all right, Jonathan, thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thanks for helping out.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to go through some other photos here and everything. I had to show this because every Canadian has to have a photo of themselves on ice skates.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite human, my daughter, Sarah. Yep. She's amazing.
Speaking of your favorite human, I was thrilled to see that your daughter has a camera in her hands.
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a Canon she inherited from my dad, but yeah, she's an amazing artist. Like, you know, and I paint, and she blew me away with her artistic ability. And
great. You want to give her? Does she have a website? You want to give her a quick shout out?
No, she doesn't actually. She's just not a shooter. She's just making dad happy and doing a trip out in the prairie with me that day.
Well, that's wonderful. She looks like a great girl and a great lady. And I just wanted to honor your daughter and her passion for photography and following in a bit of dad's footsteps there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. She's very proud of her. Fantastic girl.
No problem. Hey, you Canadians wait on long lines for photo stores, man.
I know. It was freezing and snowing and there are guys in shorts for crying out loud. That was Black Friday last year or the year before.
I just wanted to make a point of it that we're all complaining about waiting online during COVID and for food and other things. And I'm not making light of it by any means necessary.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have to do it too. Waiting online every week now, Trader Joe's and many places. But Canadians have been waiting online for even photo stores on the worst weather conditions for ages.
I've been at stores where Black Friday or Boxing Day, where it's minus 30 outside degrees, and they're lined up for hours to get, you know, $50 or $100 off a camera or whatever. It's like nuts, you know. So
I've never needed a product that badly.
exactly same here.
No, me neither. But you know, some beautiful work. And one of the things that always, you know, is the best thing to me, I teach at FIT. I'm an adjunct professor at FIT teaching the fundamentals of social media, and I also throw in a lot of visual work, of course, is being together with groups of photographers, of students, of groups in general. And, you know, I see that you do a lot of teaching and a lot of workshops. And I just wanted to give a shout out to you and your workshops and everything else.
Oh, thanks. Well, just that picture that you had there was my Sony team. And we're in Vegas at this point.
Oh, okay.
Amazing. Okay. And you know what? I'm very blessed to have worked with great people throughout my career, throughout my working life. And the Sun, again, we were family. Both this is my U.S. team, and then I have a Canadian team. Well, these are top quality guys, and like there's they're all across the states, you know.
Shout out to the Sony team. Shout out to the Sony teams everywhere. Thank you for all you do to keep photography going and help people get those great shots. And also, I love going into alleys and everywhere and finding these great walls and art in many cities. It's always a great thing. And true photography students, not always staying there for the picture, but actually shooting while you're shooting them.
Exactly.
But, you know, a lot of workshops with Sony, a lot of teaching. So great. Mm-hmm. Everybody should check out your website, Stuart Dryden. Photography.com, and make sure you learn more and more about Stuart. I found this to be hilarious.
Oh, these buggers. See, that's what I mean. You can't be on the sideline, do anything crazy without another shooter getting a picture of it. So.
It hasn't shown the one where I was accused of on the sidelines, at least.
This guy, I was shooting a Stampeders football game, Canadian football game, and my photo editor, a buddy of mine, was on the other side, you know, doing the other angle. Right. And he's standing beside this character, Frank, and a receiver was coming in for a pass, and I'm obviously following the receiver, and I hit these two guys. Well, the shot looks like Frank's throwing the photo editor under the bus, essentially, right, in line. And actually snapped the photo editor's monopod with a hit from the football player.
Exactly.
So I got this wicked shot of Frank going like this, and then the photo editor going like this with the cameras and the receiver. It was funny. So funny. Yeah, I did color that story. It looks like they're pushing.
You capture all different moments, whatever agency, whatever you're working with, whoever distributes them.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, I'm a big dog person. I only have two guinea pigs right now, but this photo is just is a framer of a dog, of a canine unit. Because, I mean, where do you see this, a dog looking at his own picture?
Well, you know, that's I've got to take my hat off to you, seriously, Stefan. Your research is amazing. I mean, like having Frank and then going back in the day on my old stuff here, it's very, I'm very amazed at how,
you know,
well you've done that.
The way when I first started using StreamYard, by the way, folks, StreamYard is my platform of choice. It changed my life, being able to do these broadcasts, by being able to bring on great photojournalists and photographers who are able to not only tell you their stories, but for you to get to know them. Because, like I said, remember, the basis for this show is for you to get to know them and their work and give them work. That's why I'm thrilled to be on LinkedIn, whether it's people in Canada, people around the world, whatever photographer is around in your area, in your country, in your town, in your city. Get to know them through my show. Give them work. They're great photographers who can do your corporate work, your family work, your concerts. Well, there are no concerts right now. You name it. But that's one of the reasons why I have them on here, is so much work has been affected. Please get to know them, review their work, touch base with them on social media, through my help, through anybody's help, and let's help them survive and get through this, just like everybody's helping each other right now and should be. Because this is tough times, folks, even for me. Mm-hmm. And let's make sure we help each other, because that's what it's all about. Okay?
For sure.
So shout out, though, to Frank and Stu. I mean, for Stuart, for recognizing that. Thank you. Because I dig deep into everybody's work.
Yeah. That's amazing, actually. I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
So this is a great shot. I love it, man. Shout out to the canine unit.
Well, shots like this is what we'd have to do every day with a paper, is, you know, you're doing a feature shot. So you're basically trying to tell the story with the, you know, the image and stuff like that. And a lot of times you'd have elements, like you've got the calendar that the dog's in, you've got the dog and you've got the instructor. It's just a case of putting them together. And, you know, that's something that I did every day and didn't really take for granted, but I was surprised at some guys that just cannot do that, like put the elements together. To tell the story properly, you know?
Yeah, no, it's all about telling the whole story. I always tell people, wherever you go, let me tell you something. And then we'll go through some final photos and we'll wrap this show up. But one of the things that I always said to people when I worked out there in the field is there are shots before, during, of course, and way after. Yeah. Years ago, and I should have had this photo ready, but I didn't know we'd end up at this point of discussion. I was shooting the emergency service truck one unit, I believe, in Harlem during a really bad day, where a really horrible day, where there was a mass murder on 125th Street. It was one of the worst things I've ever documented. But 2 hours later, I was still on the scene, and I ended up with this photo of, and I'll show it one day, of three ESU police officers walking away with their shotguns held up from behind of their jackets that say ESU, a woman ESU officer in the middle, and it looked like high noon, you know? Mm-hmm. But the point is that that was 2 hours later, and it's one of my most memorable shots out of documenting 10 years worth of work.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Think about those moments, right, Stuart and Frank?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, lots of times I've shown up to scenes that were one of the biggest disasters, I would say, in Calgary was a big, huge explosion called Hub Oil.
Right.
And I was on the Port of Midnight shift, and it started at like 8 or 9 in the morning.
Right.
And obviously I went in early, maybe noon or something.
Right.
But, I mean, just – being ready, lining up a shot. The guys were in the perimeter.
Yep.
I just did a long shot, you know, and a thing blew. You know, we could hear on the scanner that it was about to blow, kind of thing.
Right.
And then it blew. So all the guys in close and wide, you know, like I crushed the street, the busy area with this big mushroom cloud. It's just, you don't have to be there. Well, sure. F8 and be there as soon as you can, but
sure.
Anytime, yeah.
Yeah, no. But, you know, your folks on LinkedIn, looking for great portraits or corporate work. This is an example of Stuart's non-landscape work. He's an all-around skilled photojournalist. Amazing work here. Look at this beautiful photo of this musician. I love the movement and just the feel and the vibe of this photo. It's just so – it's perfect. It's perfect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, again, knowing your work, you know.
But also your portraiture with your Sony team in Vegas, in Nevada. I found this. I love the lighting on this. Stuart, you should be hired by everybody out there to do this kind of type of work in the Canadian region.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm going to give some quick ones here. We're going to roll through some others. Gary Hirshhorn, if you're still watching, I'm going to roll through these. But you've got some competition in the Canadian side again for the moon and everything else.
Gary's, you know, Gary owns that
For his moon shots.
Yeah, Gary owns the moon.
Sorry, I did not say it that way, did I?
Yeah.
Okay, let's quickly go past that comment and let's get to these beautiful shots, lunar shots of the landscape here. Look at these, just gorgeous.
Oh, thanks.
And this is my favorite, though. There's something about this. It's abstract, and it's absolutely just the most gorgeous nature shot I've seen in a while of the moon and a landscape and prairie like this.
Thanks. Well, Frankie and I, when I first started shooting Instagram stuff and landscape, we were bounding through the prairie in the middle of the night trying to put something in front of a moon. And I mean, looking for we're looking for windmills like this. We're looking for anything we could put in front of
them. Well, you nail it. I mean, look at these. Oh. I mean, you know, and then out of everything, I have to tell you, this is one of the closing shots I wanted to end on. I absolutely fell in love with this. It's, everybody would think it's so simple, but it's so perfect.
We have clouds out here.
But you guys in the clouds, man.
Yeah, that's your storms, your thunderstorms, you know.
Yeah. But there's also, you know, the old barns and stuff to capture, and the fields and the sun and the beauty of every. And then there's always the humor of Canadians, man.
Yeah, yeah. This guy was actually saying he has a smile on his face every time he drives up the drive, you know.
I don't blame him. Look at that. That's beautiful. It's wonderful, man. It's wonderful. And then. Whoa, something happened there. It sped by. Sorry about that.
No worries.
But, you know, all of these are just gorgeous.
This reminded me of the bamboo railway in Cambodia.
Oh, okay.
Except you'd go 50 kilometers an hour down this thing on these old – it was amazing anyway. And we survived. No, absolutely. That's what it reminded me of.
Absolutely beautiful, you know, because you can see it was a very hot day. You know, judging by the picture and judging by the excuse me, I'm drawing a blank here.
The vapors.
Thank you. Yeah. The vapors. And then, you know, all of the beautiful old barns. And well, this isn't actually just a barn. It's a grain elevator.
A grain elevator, yeah.
Grain elevator, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The giants of the prairies, they're all over.
Getting pretty rare.
I love that. The giants of the prairies, right, Frank? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're tearing them down. So all across, they've torn down so many hundreds of them. So, I mean, there's a few, you know,
right.
And they're,
right.
You know, well, so.
I wanted to end, on a beautiful note, and that is sad to hear, but we have to wrap this up. I wanted to end on a beautiful note. Not on the prairies, grain, giants of the prairies.
Yeah.
And they really are. They're beautiful. I mean, look at that. I mean, it's a shame that they're tearing them down. And a lot of that has to do with another show on the state of the industry and many other things. But I wanted to end with this and say, Stuart and Frank, It's been absolutely lovely and beautiful having you on and telling your stories and sharing your relationship. And thank you for being here. Stuart, please, once again, online on Instagram at StuPhoto8 and find Frank at One Eye Photo. One final quick comment, Frank, on closing. We'll give the senior photojournalist here the last word. Is what's up with One Eye Photo, Frank?
Well, usually looking through the camera with one eye and the other one's on the side. So I don't know. I just thought it was
kind of different. I love it. And you know what? It's a real, believe it or not, it's a really smart social media handle because I will never forget it.
And I work for Seymour and Do Less.
Well, I
work for Seymour and Do Less.
You know what? You got to love with a brum bang for the end.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, so guys, hold on a minute. I got to wrap this up. I want to talk to you behind the scenes. Give me 1 minute, okay? I'll be right back.
Sure. Well, thanks for the
everyone
invite.
For watching. All right,
Frank, thank you so much. Gary, from a fellow Canadian and sharpshooter, thank you so much for the props. Okay, hold on, guys. Be right back.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to take everybody off here. We're going to stop sharing the screen. And I'm going to say, folks, thank you for another great hour. Well, hour and 25 minutes of your time. We try to keep it tight, but we never cut the story short. So there are great stories to be told and great relationships to be explored. Gary says he has inspired me to go find a picture of another foggy day in New York City. You go, boy. Thank you so much, Gary. So I'm going to wrap it up here by saying that next week's show is a really, really great show. I'm going across the pond, as they say. We are going to the UK, and we are going to be in London, virtually, of course, with Emmy Dattenberg Doyle. I so apologize for mispronouncing that. And Tuva Wolf of the Gallery Doyle Wham in London. New faces in contemporary African portraiture. I can hardly wait to have this show to discuss this body of work that they have on exhibition at their gallery and that they show at the Gallery Doyle Wham, because I went to a very international school growing up with tons of students from Africa and Haiti and many other places. And the whole country and countries the continent has always been very near and dear to my heart. And I can't wait to have these two gallery partners, and Tuva is also a very accomplished photographer, have them on to talk about this body of work. And we hope to even bring you at least one of the photographers which we'll be working on for this show next week. So please join us next Saturday for New Faces in Contemporary African Portraiture. And then the other thing that I want to do is give a quick shout out to, sorry, one second here. We have, oh, okay, I see what happened here, and I see exactly what happened. Pardon me for 1 second. I want to give a shout out to Sri Srinivasan and his Fundamentals of Social Media course through Muckrack. Please enroll today and learn the fundamentals of social media and much, much more from Muckrack, a great institution here in New York, an organization. And this is a free course to learn all about social media and everything else social media related. Learn through Sri, please. And this is hashtag MRA Social. And tomorrow, please tune in for the NYT read-along with Sri Srinivasan, my dear colleague who I work with through DigiMentors as a freelance consultant and live streamer, and Amy Padnani, editor of the obituaries desk for the New York Times and creator of Overlooked, a series that tells the stories of remarkable people whose deaths were not originally reported on by the New York Times. That will be a fascinating show, folks. And I tell you, please tune in for that as well. And finally, we're going to close out with a shout out for She's On Call. Tomorrow, October 25th, with two of my favorite doctors, Dr. Sujana and Dr. Marina, and learn everything COVID-related and health-related with these two great doctors every week. Please check them out. But we are going to take it off the air here and say, see you next week for the Spin It Social Hour right here on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube for New Faces in Contemporary African Portraiture. Have a great day, folks. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.